Welcome to the Playing Injured podcast, where we have conversations that help people turn their adversity into their advantage. Welcome to episode 84, where one of our hosts, Mason, sits down with his great friend, Ian Rook. Ian is an entrepreneur and a scrum master working in the IT space. In this episode, we talk about self-limiting beliefs, the mindset of how you can transform these self-limiting beliefs and empower yourself. Ian's story is great, and I think a lot of people will be able to identify with it, resonate with it. It would be great if you could send this to one of your friends who is struggling with self-limiting beliefs, who is looking to maybe make a transition in their life. I think this would be a powerful episode for them to listen to. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to another episode of Playing Injured. I am so pumped to be here today with a lifelong friend. Ian, how many years has it been?
Man, I calculated this not too long ago. It was a shower thought, oddly enough. I'm just like, yeah, we've known each other for this fall. I think it'll be 20 years. So yeah, man, we've known each other for a long time. It's good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, taking some time out. I know there's so many things that we actually agree on. Unfortunately, Ian's really confused on what club to support in the EPL. So in general, we get along pretty well, except for when it comes to his confusion there. So I don't know. Like, I don't know if you need to explain yourself, Ian, on what's wrong with you. But
I don't think there's anything wrong with being a Manchester United supporter. I mean, it's not the easiest club to support right now, and hasn't been for, you know, a little over a decade now. I get it, but I'm not confused. And from my stance, Mason, there's nothing wrong with me. It's Chelsea fans that are like, they kind of wig me out a little because they're so loyal to a club that was purchased with oil money. But yeah, it's no confusion on my end. And like, as far as
you, that's a low blow, dude. That's a low blow. What'd you say to me today about your ear infection or whatever? You're like,
yeah, I mean, being a Man U fan, it makes having an ear infection easier to deal with because I'm used to like repetitive irritation and just like not the greatest functionality, which is a lot of what Manchester United supporters are having to deal with right now. But
repetitive, I hope you heard that pun, repetitive irritation.
Yeah,
ear infection.
Yeah,
next level. yeah, but I'm pumped to have you on. And the reason I wanted to have a little bit of a discussion with Ian was not because of the fact that I want more people to support Man United. That's definitely not it. But what I wanted to do was I wanted to unpack a little bit of just the journey that he's gone on. And for those that don't know, I'll just give a little bit of background for Ian. Ian was adopted into his family. And that's probably a whole nother episode we could really speak to.
Definitely.
And I think there's a lot of people there. I think you're currently in search of your birth mother. You think you might have her pinned down a little bit, at least.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure is a lot of people can relate to that have been adopted. But he also came out of high school and really went down more of the trade route. And that was a function of, I think, just maybe a little bit of lack of belief in ability, or just maybe, you know, just was interested, loves cars, loves working with his hands. I think it's a combination of both. And then today, Ian went from, we did the math recently, making, you know, 20 bucks an hour, something like that, to now, I mean, you're make six figures in corporate America. And it's not like you made that transition. It took you probably a decade to make the transition, that overnight transition, but you did that physical transition in a matter of months.
Right.
So what I want to talk about is like, hey, if I'm in the trades right now, if I'm a welder, if I'm working in some of the trades, and I want to make a drastic pivot in my life. Like I want to completely change the way I live. I mean, you're working in your home right now.
Yeah.
You're making six figures. You're working a lot less hours. Tell us a little bit about maybe what your environment was like, what your environment is like now, and then we'll dive into a little bit of some of the things you think people might need to do if they want to make some of the
changes. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it is quite a contrast in environments. So previous to now working in an IT profession and having the ability now to work from home and having a lot more control over my environment, the environment I was in as a tradesman, specifically as a welder, it was a very volatile environment. There's lots of different physical health hazards that you have to navigate in the career. You could just working with different types of material. There's the temperature side of things. I mean, you really can't do welding outside. Well, you can, depending on the branch of industry. But the branches of industry that I worked in, it was, you know, primarily, I'd say over 99% of it was indoors. And summer is your busiest season. So if you could picture this a little bit, Mason, welding during the summertime is a nightmare. Especially when you're indoors, because you have to wear jeans or long pants, particularly jeans, just because they hold up better to the environment. But then you're putting on, you know, leather jackets, you got your helmet, and you're working with stuff, and then you're generating your own personal sunshine when you boil it all down. You're working with UV light to melt steel or melt aluminum and bond it together at a few thousand degrees, and you're doing that for 8 to 10, sometimes 12 to 14 hours a day. It's exhausting work on the physical side, and on the mental side, it's exhausting too, because it requires a lot of concentration, and you've got to be on your game at all times. So when you're building some of the stuff that I had to build, I mean, I've built components that have had to hold up underwater. I've been able to build things that have gone into space and really anything you can think of in between.
Military vehicles?
Yep, definitely. Lots of military work, building armored troop transports for the United States military and its allies. If you're not on the top of your game and your work fails, it very well could cost somebody their life. At the very least, it could be a roadblock in somebody else's industry, because you're building components, parts, and weldments for all these different companies. And in some cases, I was building for different companies in different countries. So the standard for the industry is intense at times. And when you put all that together, it's a very, very stressful way to live.
Yeah. And how many years were you in the industry? Like, how many?
Yeah. So all told, and I did have a little bit of a break in there, but if you combined my welding experience, there's over 10 years of experience there by the time you go back and look at it. And it's experience in different processes. I learned how to stick weld first. I learned that up at my brother's place when I was a kid, which is the most common and probably the most archaic way of electrical-based welding. And then I moved through all the different processes. I ended basically as a TIG welder, which is very, very tedious. It's an artistic side of things. But yeah, every process can be a challenge. And I've spent time in just about every process out there to be good at it and well-rounded and someone who could potentially be a resource for newer people getting into the industry.
It's pretty awesome. And I know you've done a lot there. Talk a little bit about just the environment you were in, because, and we're going to pivot to what it took, like, what were the people like? Like, what was your association like in that environment? And what did you need to do to then develop to become a Scrum Master, which is essentially an IT project manager, if you're listening to this. In corporate America, what were some of the things that you had to do outside of work that I think a lot of maybe people in the industry aren't willing to do because they don't want to, or people maybe seeing the title of this and looking at this thinking, no, I want to, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I just don't know where to start. And how did you develop some of the skills that needed to make a pivot?
Yeah. So like outside of the physical stressors involved in being a welder or a welder fabricator was the last title I held, on the mental side and really on the emotional side, there's a lot you have to deal with, both as a welder and really any skilled trade, from any, you know, tradesmen or craftsmen I've talked to. And in my family, there's quite a few tradesmen, in different fields, but to boil it down, to sum it up, and I would never sit here and speak badly of like specific people I've worked with in the past, or just like
nobody has ever worked with anyone they don't like, right? Well, but no, I get it. It's not to say like the industry is bad and this is everybody, but just talk about how a lot of people, you know, what was the culture like?
Well, it's not even that people in the industry are bad. I think it's what the industry tends to do to people and how it changes them. Because what
the industry tends to do to people, not the industry itself. Talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So the thing about the industry, and with all the welders I've worked with, you know, carpenters I've known, the industries tend to chew people up and spit them out in a lot of different ways. Obviously, there's the physical side. I've known guys that have had to get, you know, knee and hip replacements as early as getting into their 40s. It's hard. But the other part of it too is the time you have to spend away from your family, or specifically just the things you might want to do in life or have a passion to do in life, to go and do what you have to do just to pay your bills. That stresses a lot of people out. And in a lot of ways, I think a lot of people, especially in the welding industry, they almost feel like they have to be married to their job or married to their career. And I get it. Yes, you have to put food on your table. But when you look at what a welder has to put into their day and put into their career and what they get in return, I think a lot of welders would tell you, Mason, that they feel shortchanged. And that becomes a frustration that builds over time. And unfortunately, if you're one of those that's in the industry for maybe 30 to 40 years, it tends to turn you very, very bitter. And you've got a very bad outlook on life. You almost turn into just like an automatic pessimist, right? And then when someone maybe presents you with an opportunity to do something better or to do something bigger, or to maybe try something different in life, you almost look at it as it's too good to be true.
So
and
this is
you walk around.
This is, yeah, this is what's impressed me the most about you, because I've always respected the trades. I worked in the trades and I've been around people in the trades when I was in high school. And
yeah,
you know, I did different things in that space. And you've always, you know, been one to work really hard. And I mean, some of the hardest working people I know, especially in Wisconsin, the Rust Belt of the US, like, man, some hard working. But what I respect about what you've done is what you're talking about right now in terms of the people and, you know, some of the mindsets and stuff. You've made a conscious effort to change your mindset. Talk about that a little bit, because I think this is huge, what you've done.
Yeah, I mean, and it didn't, like you mentioned, it didn't happen overnight. I would say it had to happen every night. So I had the opportunity, you know, because of you, Mason, to be exposed to a totally different environment than the one I worked in, and to be in an environment of positive, like-minded individuals and couples who really wanted to go a different direction in life. Specifically, they wanted more value in their life than maybe what they were getting from their jobs or their careers. And when I was exposed to that environment, I latched onto it because maybe I didn't know at the time I wanted something better or to maybe be something bigger, but I realized it in those first moments of association with a high caliber group of people. And I just decided, like, look, I don't necessarily know if I could be successful doing something else, but I know I don't want to necessarily be just successful and what I'm doing as a career now. Because I looked at my first 5 years of welding, Mason, I looked at people in my industry and specifically, not even the physical side, I saw the lives they were living. And what I saw a lot of was I saw a lot of alcoholism. Mm-hmm. I saw a little bit of drug use. There's probably more of that than I even realized at the time. And I saw a lot of unhealthy relationships, and I saw a lot of people that were going through divorces, in and out of marriages. And I saw people that had estranged relationships with their own kids because they had put everything they could into the industry, because that's what the industry demanded. I knew after being exposed to that higher caliber association that I didn't want my life in the next 40 years of it potentially to look like what I was seeing in my current industry. So then I just decided, look, whatever I need to do to change that forecast of what my life could look like, I needed to do that. So it took a lot of reading. It took a lot of books to better understand myself as a person and to better understand how I could communicate more effectively. But it also took conversations kind of like this one, Mason, where we're able to talk about life and maybe what we want to get out of it and then what we're willing to do. I think a lot of people feel like they can't make any major changes in their life. And they're just kind of stuck with, well, this is as good as it's going to get. But what you were able to teach me, Mason, and what that association of people were able to teach me is I can change anything I want in life for better or for worse, but I need to work at doing it. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to be a process. But if you want to make those changes, you can make those changes.
And this is what I want to hit. Yeah, this is what I want to hit on because, and it's so good, Ian. I think a lot of people that are listening to this and they're maybe stuck in that rut or it's the fixed mindedness that is happening. They're listening to you communicate right now with conviction, with clarity, with this stream of consciousness and kind of like, what the heck? This guy was a welder. How many months ago?
A month and a half.
A month and a half ago, you were welding.
Making
20 some dollars an hour. And now you're making six figures in corporate America.
Yeah.
And what is interesting for me though, is that your communication skills have developed over a series of a decade almost.
Yeah.
And there was an evolution of growing communication. And so you worked on that. You put effort into that day by day, week by week, month by month. And I think what people just get fixed minded about is like, well, I'm not a good communicator, or like, I can't communicate the way Ian communicates. It's like, no, you can. You just have to really decide you're going to work at it, and you need to get around good communicators. You need to get around that environment. So I think that's just really what's been most impressive to me is just watching you kind of consistently chip away at that and have a growth.
Here at Plain Injured, we value mental fitness and giving folks tools to persevere through anything in life. If you struggle with brain fog, fatigue, or staying focused, I want to present to you the latest biohacking tool called Magic Mind. It's an amazing productivity drink. Look, I've been drinking Magic Mind for the past few weeks, and I've noticed a difference in my level of focus, the momentum that I feel throughout the day, and it's helped me feel more successful and conquer my calendar. Magic Mind is the world's first productivity drink. It's different than an energy drink or a coffee-based drink with minimal caffeine and all natural ingredients, helping you fight off procrastination, brain fog, fatigue, and some ADD symptoms. After about 3 to 7 days of continuous use, it's easier to get into a flow state and be more productive. Magic Mind has a special offer for our listeners. Head over to www.magicmind.co/injured and use our promo code injured for 20% off. Visit www.magicmind.co/injured and use our promo code injured for 20% off.
What has been some of the imposter syndrome that you faced coming from welding into corporate America, into six-figure earning income, into literally working in a shop to working from home behind a computer screen? Talk a little bit about that. Could you psychologically or emotionally describe some of like what you've dealt with?
Yeah, definitely. And to touch real quick on one thing that you said about kind of what people sometimes say about themselves and not believing maybe that you are a good communicator or you could be a good communicator. one thing I learned early on was that whatever I tell myself, I'm going to be dumb enough to believe it.
Explain that.
If I tell myself that I'm not a good communicator, or if maybe all I'm ever going to be is a welder, or maybe I'm never meant to have like a perfect relationship and get married or start a family, you're going to believe yourself every time. And the worst uphill battle I think anyone could put themselves in is the one they choose to put themselves in. Right. If you tell yourself you're going to have a hard day, or if you tell yourself you're going to have a bad day, odds are you're going to have a bad day every single time. And I think if I say that to people, they realize that, like, oh yeah, that makes sense. But it's amazing, Mason, how many people, and I had the same problem, how many people sell themselves short in their own minds, and they almost cut themselves off from greater opportunities because they don't believe in themselves.
What's the science behind that? Like, can you unpack a little bit of the science behind what you're saying to yourself and how that works in the brain?
Yeah. I mean, for me, Mason, when I decided I was going to make the change from being a welder to now being a scrum master and an IT professional, I had to tell myself a lot that, yeah, I deserve the opportunity. That was the biggest thing for me. And I've known a lot of people and worked with a lot of people who just felt they didn't deserve anything better than what they were getting out of life. That was hard for me to get over. And my first, you know, couple of months of classes, I did eventually start to realize, like, yeah, no, I do deserve this opportunity. I do deserve the ability, if I have it, to make this change in life. So I had to look at myself as being worthy first, and then work towards being fit for the role I'm currently in. Now, I don't have any IT experience. I don't know anything about coding. I don't know anything about digital project management. I don't know anything about, well, working for a financial, now we're working in APIs. I couldn't really tell you the first thing as to how any of that works. But I did realize that I'm working with people who are the experts. So if I can connect with them and communicate with them and help them in their process of doing their work and make the team successful, that's what I'm there for. And it's amazing, Mason, how I've been able to apply that in other areas of life. I'm not necessarily always the expert in every interaction I'm a part of, but I've gotten really good at helping other people be successful in whatever it is they're doing, maybe just by asking them some really basic and obvious questions, because maybe I don't know what they're talking about at first. And being able to connect with people. But that all stemmed from just deciding and realizing in my own head that, yeah, I'm worthy to lead and I'm worthy to serve. And I have what it takes to work in any career I want, much less the one I was currently working in. Mm. So that for me was the science of getting to where I am today. Just understanding, yeah, I'm good enough. And I can, like, do things better in my life than I currently am.
Amazing. Amazing. And I've seen you make shifts in relationships. I've seen you financially make some major leaps and bounds. You know, I think you're working towards more health goals now. Like, there's just been a lot of really cool things that kind of came. And sometimes we just need a win and a W, right? And you've had that recently. You know, I think coming back just to, since you were going down that path, I think I've talked about this on a different episode, but it's been a while, is this idea between the ant and the elephant.
It's one of my favorite books, by the way.
Yeah. And the idea is that there's an ant riding on the back of an elephant. And the book is a kind of a parable or a parallel into the way our brain works.
Yes.
And this ant here is trying to lead this elephant, and the ant thinks it's in control. Right. And so it's saying, hey, we're going to go this direction. And what's really in control is the elephant. And all of a sudden it goes over this big bridge, and the ant thinks it's massive because the ant thinks it's causing this bridge to shake. And what it's describing is that the ant on the back of an elephant, the ant is actually the conscious mind. And the elephant is the subconscious mind.
Yes.
And so what happens is we want to go one direction in our conscious brain. I want to become a scrum master. I want to get out of welding. I want to change my life. But what's driving that is your subconscious brain, the elephant. And if you're trying to go south as an elephant and that or as an ant, and that elephant wants to go north, guess what? You're not going to turn that thing around unless you do what Ian spoke to. And that is what? You start changing the way you talk to yourself and you start reprogramming that brain.
Yeah. And I had to do some weird things in the early days to sort of almost psych myself out a little bit. I had to get in front of a mirror and tell myself I was worthy of change. I had to tell myself in the shower. I had to tell, what was great was telling myself what I needed to hear when I was on my way to do a job I really didn't want to do. That was probably the hardest thing I had to do early on. And I'm not going to lie to you, Mason. There were times I felt guilty about it because it's like you and I were raised very, very similar, being, you know, from the same area of Wisconsin and in the United States. We're taught to be thankful about everything we have. So for me to start saying these things to myself, yeah, that elephant in my brain is like, yeah, but you should be thankful for everything you have. I had to struggle with that dynamic of first being thankful for everything I've had in life up to this point, and then still reaching out and deciding, but I'm destined for so much more than that. And it was this conflict between living, like earning a living and earning a life. Mm. That's what it boiled down to for me. So yeah, it was a lot of weird conversations with myself. I still have conversations with myself. Sometimes, depending on the environment I'm in, the only intelligent conversation I can have is with myself. So I've gotten used to that. But it was definitely something that was weird and challenging early on. But it's so worth it, because if you're not willing to tell yourself, you could have thousands, hundreds of thousands of people tell you you're destined for greatness. But if you don't believe yourself and you're not willing to tell yourself that, I honestly don't think it's ever going to matter. Mm. You're going to be stuck where you're at.
Mm. Yeah.
It has to start with you first.
Yeah. And you talked about it being that coming from books mainly and association. So what are a handful of books that you, or maybe one or two books that you recommend people?
Oh man, there's all kinds of books I could recommend, but some of the big ones for me was, this is a classic. You can find this one anywhere, any Barnes and Noble, if you're still going to bookstores, or definitely find it online wherever books are sold. It was a book by Dale Carnegie called How to Win Friends and Influence People. That was a good book. I still go back and reread that one, you know, periodically, just because there's definitely situations in life that you kind of have to revisit, you know, through the scope of a book as knowledgeable as that one. Another good book I can think of off the top of my head was a book by Dr. Shad Helmstetter called What Do You Say When You Talk to Yourself? That one was really, really key, Mason, because that was my first taste of just understanding how the brain works, how the mind works, and how important and crucial it is to be able to tell yourself the right things, whether it's in spite of what's, you know, you're being told out in the real world, or even if you're getting tons of praise. Like if what you say to yourself isn't right and isn't correct, you're not going to make any of the changes in life that you maybe want to make. And another book I want to touch on too, and you were just talking about it, it's one of my favorites. It's amazing how that small, skinny book could be so impactful, was The Ant and the Elephant. I actually got to go back and read that now that you mentioned it. But those are three I would say that are in my top 10 or top 25 even of books I would recommend anybody read. Look, you don't have to be a tradesman that maybe wants to make a change. You could be a stay-at-home mom with three kids. I think no matter who you are, understanding how your brain works and how, you know, speaking from your mouth can eventually lead you in life to where you want to go, that's crucial for anybody.
Very true. It's very true. You know, one of the things that I've just been really studying up on is this skill set that I think our generation, when I say our generation, I say anyone between 20 and 40, right?
Yep.
Our generation needs to learn better. And it's something, a skill that I've been growing, I'm not perfect at, I still drop the ball, is the skill of choosing who's going to influence you.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
And that comes from knowing what you want knowing where you want to go, and then being very intentional about what you put into your brain, whether that's the things you listen to, the books you read. And of course, when most people hear choosing who you're is going to influence you, the skill of that, they think about people, right? So yes, relationships, which is very true. And it doesn't mean you have to cut out a bunch of relationships. In fact, maybe you don't, maybe you do. But what I've learned is that you have to choose consciously who you're going to allow to listen to and kind of embark on and think about, like, do they have what I actually want? So I think what you're hitting on, Ian, is you've really chose your influence and you've allowed people into your life that believe in you. Like you said, there can be 1,000 people that tell you they believe in you and say potential, but you've allowed certain people into your life to build those relationships and open yourself up to them. So it's been a really neat journey. I want to kind of land the plane here as we come in to the end of this episode. And Ian, I would just love to hear a little bit about, you know, literally going, and I'm hitting on the number quite a bit because I want people to feel it, from $20 an hour to almost quadruple that.
Yes.
Right, in terms of pay, which isn't everything, right? Money isn't everything. What I want you to just talk about your self-image and your self-worth, and like, what do you feel like if you could implore somebody who's sitting in this quiet space of desperation and they're questioning, man, I've been doing this for 10 years. Like, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to make a change. If there's some just couple words of wisdom as we land the plane here, what would you give them? What would you kind of say, hey, here's kind of your next 3 steps you should take in order to get yourself moving in the right direction? Like, you could do that, you know, this episode tomorrow, you could start step 1 and kind of move your way forward. What would it be?
Yeah, that's a good question. So just pulling from my own experience, probably my first piece of advice to anyone who is living that life of quiet desperation that you and I talk about a lot is, look, number one, you, and I'm speaking to that individual, you are good enough. You can live the life that you want to have. And there are less limitations that you have that you think you have. There are less things in your way than you realize. It's not as daunting of a task maybe as you think it is. It's not to say that making a change, like even the one I've made, is necessarily easy. But you really have to take stock in the vision of your life and decide what you're going to do to obtain it. And I just decided real early on that I was willing to do whatever it takes. If it meant the analogy I'll use is, if that meant shoveling horse manure into a wet paper bag, I was going to go out and get a shovel and get to work.
I mean, so, you pretty much have done that. Like, you've done some of the.
It's about the only real job I haven't done, to be totally honest. But yeah, that's my biggest piece of advice is, no matter where you're at in life, no matter how bad you think things are, you still are worthy to live the life you truly want to have. And the other thing I would probably give as advice too is to take the time to understand what the life you want to have even looks like. Do the visionary work, build and paint that picture in your mind, and then even write it out. Like, list out the things in life that you would want to go different, or basically write out what you think the ideal day would look like, and then figure out what you need to do to live that day every day. And I'll tell you right now, Mason, yes, I've made some changes and I've gotten into a really good career path, but it's not necessarily 100% where I want to be. There's still a desire there to continue to push and to continue to grow myself. And that's the other piece of advice I'd give. Have that desire, that fire to want to change. Is it going to be different than everybody you're hanging out with at that time? It might be. It might be. But it's your life in the end. So like, is it worth it? And kind of to your point, I would never suggest anyone who's willing to make the changes just completely cut out everybody that they're hanging out with or whatever. But seriously evaluate who you spend your time with. One of the best pieces of advice I ever got, Mason, was show me who your five closest friends are and I'll tell you who you are. And when I first heard that, it honestly scared the hell out of me. You know, I had to do some serious revaluation as to who I was spending my time with and what was maybe taking up my time at that point in life. So those are the main pieces of advice I could give. That could be another episode in itself. Mm-hmm. Just all the different things I've had to look for and reevaluate to get to where I am and to get to where I'm going to be, you know, in the future, both short-term and long-term. But I honestly think it all starts from just painting that picture of what you want your life to look like and then just selling out and deciding you're going to do what it takes.
Yeah. And kind of manifesting that into your life.
Yes.
Right? And trusting that, you know, and being willing to get outside your comfort zone, but then trusting that people are going to come into your life. And now it's time to not pass those opportunities up when they show up.
Yeah. I mean, when those opportunities show up, they show up for a reason, whether you think it's a divine will, and I don't want to get into the religious side of things, or if you think it's, you know, scientific fate, or if you think it's pure dumb luck. Just put, like, when you're in a position to maybe grab onto an opportunity, it could be just something different than what you're doing. Maybe you don't know whether or not it's better. Just have the courage to say, you know what? I'm good enough to see if there's something else out there.
Amen.
And then just selling out to whatever that might be and getting excited about the process of growth.
Yeah. Well, this is my podcast, so you can share all you want. And you and I both have a foundation in Christ and are Christians. And I just truly really believe that, you know, there are God's moving. He's working through people, and he really works through people with the Holy Spirit. And he's going to give you, he wants you to have a great life. He wants greatness for you. And it might be sanctifying, meaning it might be painful. It might stretch you. It might hurt you at times, but his goal isn't to hurt you. His goal is to sanctify you. And I think, Ian, I've just seen you lean into that more than ever over the last couple of years. And it's been a really neat kind of transitional period. So thanks for landing that plane, man. You did a phenomenal job, as I expected. And thanks for coming on another episode of Plane Injured. And I pray for everybody listening to this, that you find the grace and the peace, as you listen to this episode moving forward. And please let us know. You'll see Ian's contact information in here if you need to reach out to him and you want to talk about any of the things discussed here or pick his brain. You're obviously welcome to do that. I'm sure, right, Ian?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love to be in a position where I can be a resource and help somebody else, because someone was willing to do that for me. The best thing I can do is pay that forward. Absolutely reach out to me directly. If there's anything you want to know, or if there's anything you want to pick my brain on, I'm more than happy to help.
Our brand design and strategy is by Tessa at 5footstudios.com. You can also follow her on Instagram at 5footstudios. Our music is by Lakey Inspired. Go ahead and subscribe so that you never miss an episode, and click the 5 stars to give us a rating. And most importantly, keep playing it.